what, Steve? We should have picked out some Garth Brooks lead-in music when Mary's gone, because we're both such Garth fans.
I can play some during the break.
Okay, that sounds good. Good Friday morning! Denise here on WTAD, filling in for Mary Griffith. No fear, she will return on Monday. I'm sure many of you are like, let's get this young chick off. Well, that's okay, we'll get the old lady back.
Oh, I'll tell her you said that. That's on tape. Got that. Listening. It wasn't me that said it.
We are so excited to have the Historical Society here with us. Rob Mellon is busy, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
And you, Rob, have the Woodland Cemetery tours coming
up,
right?
Yeah.
They are scheduled. What do they entail?
Well, we had to modify it a little bit because of the pandemic, but they're going to be the last four Saturdays in October, theme guided tours. And really, you can just call the Historical Society and get information. The two tours will be on the Rogers Vault, where we actually go into the crypt. And the other one will be on Woodland's Civil War Legacy. So those will be the two types of tours that you can take. And they'll be on every Saturday in October, the last four Saturdays in October.
So starting the 10th, it looks like, on the calendar, October 10th.
Yes.
One.
Generally, we like to do it every Saturday in October. Mm-hmm. We had to curtail it because of the pandemic.
Plus, there's more. You know, it seems like October's a little bit longer this month, too. Now, do people need to get tickets, reservations? How does that work?
They could actually show up, but they're so popular, and we have the sizes are going to be a little smaller this year. And so I would definitely encourage people to call the Historical Society. It's just 222-1835. Which was the year the mansion was built.
Clever.
So so if they call that number, we can reserve you tickets, and you can come pick up the tickets, and you'll have them. But if you do get that that day, if you want to show up to the cemetery, if there's tickets available, we'll certainly accommodate.
What will listeners be able to experience while on this tour? I mean, obviously it's very historical in nature, but what kind of things will they learn?
I just think it's really cool to go out there and the sun's kind of going down, and that cemetery with the rolling hills and that very iconic types of memorials that are out there, the obelisk and the vaults and the little crypts, and it's a very interesting environment to be in, and then to hear those stories. And some of the stories are pretty interesting, and the individuals kind of had an untimely demise.
Oh.
And, or they were involved in some really nefarious things. You know, we've done all kinds of things with the ghost tours over the years. So we like to pick out really good stories.
That is fun. And it's how many acres? It's pretty big, right?
Oh, it's pretty big. And the interesting thing is that was donated by John Wood. John Wood, the founder of the city, donated that land. And there's one other interesting thing about Woodland. Later on, the city kind of got flattened out, and so forth. As we see, most of the streets are very level and flat. But the city, when John Wood showed up in 1822, there wasn't no city here, but the land, the topography was similar to Woodland. So if somebody wants to know what Quincy was like before the city actually developed, from its past, from the beginning, take a walk in Woodland, and you'll kind of get that feel, the rolling hills.
That's cool.
It really is. That's one of them. My son, in fact, I took my son out there. We had family members buried there, and it is very hilly. Some of it you really can't even drive on. Some parts of it you have to get out and walk to. But it's a fascinating cemetery. It's always been that way. One of my favorites. You're talking about these tours. Is this kind of what used to be called, like, the Halloween cemetery tours, ghost tours?
Yeah, those are the same things.
Pretty much the same thing?
You know, sometimes we've got some purists there, and they don't like the ghost tours. They want it to be educational, but we dip into the stories that happened with individuals, like I mentioned before, some who had a kind of an untimely demise or their interesting lives. Let's just put it that way.
That is so cool. Now, Woodland Cemetery is 1020 South 5th Street. Again, the cemetery tours are the last four Saturdays in October, trying to get you in the Halloween spirit. Of course, keeping you safe, social distancing, wearing your mask. And again, you can always call ahead and get tickets so that way that you know that you are ready to go. Now, this is October. Rob, you know you're planning ahead. And I hear that the museum will be opening next month as well.
Well, we're trying. We're trying our best because we want to make sure that our guests and our volunteers are protected. So it's based on the situation with COVID at the current time. Our plan was to do it a little sooner, but it looks like it's going to be at the end of October. And try to have some things for the schools available virtually. We normally have a very robust education program, which had to be canceled this year. So we're going to try to do some virtual things at the museum. The exhibit that's opening is going to be really cool. It's going to be on the Underground Railroad, Father Tolton, David Nelson. And we got some really cool artifacts in there. We actually have the very first anti-slavery society in Adams County, 1835. John Wood was on it. David Nelson was on it. And we have that, their bylaws, their initial bylaws, where they all signed it. And that'll be on display.
Oh, interesting. Now, wasn't there a woman here, maybe a Dieters, that wrote a book about the
She did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's very interesting.
That's available at the History Museum has a gift shop, and we have a lot of local books, and that's one of the books that's there.
It's very interesting. Cool. Now, for those who might not be familiar, what is the mission of the Historical Society here in Quincy?
Well, it's pretty expansive because it's to protect our history, and that extends out to the buildings that we maintain. But we have interest in all buildings in town to make sure that they're protected, that have a historical significance to them. But the buildings that we're personally responsible for are the John Wood Mansion, which everyone knows. I call it Quincy's house. And then, of course, the museum, which used to be the old public library. It was built in 1888. The mansion was built in 1835. That's pretty amazing to have a structure like that.
And it still looks so good.
Well, we work really hard at it. And I will say, because of the generosity of our members and people in the community who care about that building and care about the museum also, but they really care about the mansion and all of the work that we do, the porch that we just redid a few years ago and the painting, it's very costly. And the reality is, it's because of the generosity of the people of Quincy and the county that's made that, you know, possible for us.
What are the benefits of being a member?
Well, one of the interesting things is we have an archivist that's there, Jean, and she's amazing. Anybody that's worked with Jean knows that. So she researches old, like a lot of times people move into an old home and they want to find out some history behind it. Or they have a business and they move into an old business downtown or a building downtown and they want to find out some information about it. And so we provide that. We have a library with all of the Quincy directories from the past and atlases from the past. So you have access to all of that information. You also have access to all our facilities. You get our quarterly newsletter, which is the Governor's Post, which is really cool. It's a magazine. And, you know, the other thing is the Historical Society has been around since 1896. It's one of the oldest in the state. It predates the Illinois State Historical Society. So most of the prominent members going back, Lorenzo Bull was our very first president. Louise Mertz was on our board at one point. You know, all of these prominent Quincyans from that time have been members of the Historical Society, so you get tied into that history as well.
That's pretty cool. Rolling with the big guys. Now, usually this holiday season, you have the candlelight tours. And, of course, you're hoping that you're going to be able to. Do you have an update?
Well, the mansion will definitely be decorated.
Oh, beautiful.
And everybody loves that. And we will probably have the candlelight tours. We like to – that's one of the things people really love at Christmas time is to walk through the mansion to hear – you said you played it one
– Yeah, I played mansion. The clarinet one time in one of the
And you said it was great,
It
right?
was so cool. Steve, it totally got you in the holiday spirit.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. I've been on the tour. Yeah, it's really, really nice. Good to hear that they're going to try to continue doing that.
Well, there's a couple of things that – people expect from us, obviously, to protect history anytime that
sure.
there's a need for that. But the ghost tours and the candlelight
yeah.
tours, people kind of expect, and we're going to do we're going to make every effort to have the public have that available.
That we are talking with Rob Mellon, the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County. All things Lincoln, you've got a great website if you want to go see, learn more about the Lincoln-Douglas debate site, the Lincoln Gallery, and then you guys have a good office here in downtown Quincy that if people are, is it open to the public right now?
It is open from time to time.
Sure.
If someone would call ahead, it helps mm-hmm. us out a little bit. We're trying to be as conscious as possible. A lot of our volunteers are older, and we don't want to put sure. them in a precarious situation, so we're trying to be protective. But if somebody needs something from the Historical Society, we're there for them, and they can come to the mansion and check it out, or give us a call at 222-1835.
Supports, whether it's in the form of financial or, like you mentioned, time through volunteering, is instrumental in the success of your guys' society. If people are interested, what ways can they support you? By becoming a member, maybe a legacy giving, those types of things?
All of those things are great. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we try to build out our membership because that gets you connected to the organization. And it gets you connected to the history. We write an article in the paper. People see that every single week in the Herald Whig. And those are all things that you could be, kind of get involved with if you're interested in it. We do so many different things. We have education programs. In the summers, a lot of times, we'll have trolley tours, brewery tours, tavern tours. We do all of these things, parts of the history of the city that people really cherish. You can get involved in all of those things if you're a member of the society. You can kind of pick what you're most interested in. If you like the candlelight tours, you can get involved in that. If you like the ghost tours, you definitely can get involved in that. So a lot of things that we do, education definitely is important to us. Exhibits in the museum. I mean, there's seriously a lot of things you can do if you are interested in the history and like to be part of the historical society.
How do you, in this new stage of life, how do you reach out to the youngsters to get them educated? Because it's not like how it used to be. Field trips probably aren't going to be happening a lot this year.
And that is a challenge because we did have, like I mentioned before, a really robust education program. We had a third grade program, a fifth grade, and a seventh grade program focusing on different things. The log cabin, which is actually there on the mansion grounds, that was built the same year as the mansion itself. Those things are missing. So we're going to try to fill that void with some virtual stuff for the schools coming up.
Awesome. How can people get more information, become a member, connect with you? What's the best way?
The easy way is just to give us a call. Susie's there right now, and it's 222-1835. That's the day or the year the mansion was built, and that's an easy way to contact us. But our website, as you mentioned, is pretty good, and he has some access to some research on there as well, and it's just hsqac.org. Historical Society, Quincy, Adams County.
There you go. You can find ways to support upcoming events, much like the Woodland Cemetery tours. Candlelight tour information will be posted on there as well. And the phone number, like you said, is on the website along with an email address as well. Rob, anything else you want to tell our listeners? You've done great.
Well, if you like those stories, we have all of the old Once Upon a Times from the paper, because that's what we provide for the paper. And our writers do a really great job of that. So that's another way to get into the website, check out those old stories. If you like old Quincy stories, we got stories on just about every person you can think of.
Pretty interesting. It's the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County. Rob Mellon, more information up at hsqac.org. We'll take a quick break. On the way, Maggie Strong here on the WTAD Morning Show with Mary Griffith. Star Wars?
Yes. Good job.
Is there significance about the song
Mark
today?
Mark Hamill's birthday.
Okay. You are all about tying it in, Steve. I'm catching
Luke
on to you.
Luke Skywalker is 69. Wow.
Man. That's yeah. Hard. The other day, Sydney was on her iPad playing with her game that she gets. And so by chance, she got into Netflix and pulled up Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Mommy, I don't want to watch this. I said, That's my girl. That's my girl. You are listening to the Mary Griffith Show here on WTAD. Mary will return on Monday, but until then, we get to talk with Maggie Strong, who is instrumental with the Quincy Riverfront planning. And you guys have been working so hard. Maybe for those who are unfamiliar with the plan as a whole, can you kind of do an overview?
Sure. Actually, so the Quincy Riverfront Master Plan started as a result of the Quincy Next Strategic Plan, which we worked on since, 2017. So it was adopted in March of 2018, the Quincy Next Plan, and we've worked on the initiatives. And one of those initiatives was the Riverfront Master Plan. So for about 9 months, I believe, what is time right now? We don't really know. The team of consultants has been working with the city, the county, and the park district to help develop a long-term vision, a long-term plan for our riverfront.
What is seen or want to be seen in that vision? I mean, when people think of a riverfront, they think of hustle and bustle almost. Is that part of the plan? I mean, what are you guys wanting or seeing?
It is. And really what we want to know and where we are in the plan right now is, what does the community see? What is their vision for the riverfront? We're not here to tell them what we want. We're here to listen and help make that a reality. And then we filter it through some things like cost and whether flooding will, you know, be an issue for different areas, which we know it will. We can take care of those things. But we really are looking at programming right now. So what does an amphitheater look like? Is there going to be space for playgrounds? How do we connect the riverfront to our downtown and to our beautiful trail systems? So there's lots of different options we're looking at. And the beautiful thing is right now, people, today's the last day, can fill out a survey, a programming survey, and kind of go through those options. It's a really fun survey. They can rank what they like. There's some visuals. I've heard a lot of great feedback of people who get excited after seeing those options.
You can visit QuincyRiverfront.com on the homepage. Just scroll down and take the survey. Just click on take the survey. And we'll be doing it here on the Mary Griffith Show as well. But why do you think there is such a need for something like this?
Well, you know, first and foremost, this riverfront is for community members. So we need it to be a place of gathering. We need a place where people are proud and excited to go. The riverfront is really the front door of our community. We know everywhere when there's a body of water, people, that's something that is a center of gravity for people. So we want that to be that for Quincy and the surrounding area. We also know that this could be an economic impact. If we are successful in what we're doing with our riverfront, we believe that it will grow tourism, which will grow dollars in our community. So we're looking at a return on investment here as well.
Absolutely. What have been some of the findings thus far, if you've been able to, from that survey that you've already noticed that people are wanting?
Sure. Well, we've had a survey before this, and what we heard from folks there, we had about 750 responses to that, which was fantastic. We heard people say that right now, you know, they're a little concerned about the surrounding areas to the riverfront. So what does that look like? They want to connect to the downtown. There's kind of a split between people who consider the riverfront a part of the downtown and those that don't. So we want to make sure that, how do we connect those two places? How do we get past that large, big hill that we've got? You know, what are some unique things that we could do there? So we're hearing a lot of different folks say they actually drive to the riverfront and not walk or bike. And how can we change that? How can we make it more accessible? So lots of great feedback so far. We have over 1,200 responses to this current survey,
cool,
which is fantastic. We'd love to get a whole bunch more before midnight tonight.
Absolutely. And again, you can visit QuincyRiverfront.com. I'll be taking the survey here soon. You guys have very good questions, right? I mean, we're on question number 6, and it says, we understand all of the project goals are important. However, in determining priorities, you can kind of rank what goals in your mind, and they're great, whether it's to create a destination, provide spaces for events, you know, develop flood control measures, create a destination. And I think sometimes, you know, we live and breathe this area. But it can, and it is, a destination for some. So let's try and work together to make it more beautiful, right?
Exactly. That's what we're trying to get people to think outside the box a little bit. Think about the places back when we could travel. What are those places that you thought were really cool and sort of, again, outside the box? What were the places on the river or on a body of water that you thought were just a really fun place for your family to hang out? And then let's think about how that could happen in Quincy, because it is possible, and that's what we're dreaming about right now.
You have put together a list of some questions that a lot of people have been wondering about. Are there some things that you definitely want to touch on to educate listeners?
Well, you know, we have folks who ask us about the project timeline, so we're kind of in the middle right now. Like I said, we're working on programming. Once we get the feedback back from this survey, our consultant team will be looking at all of that information, and then we'll be developing some ideas. Put some pen to paper and come up with some thoughts based on that feedback that we want to share with the public. And then we will do that in December, early December. We'll have our next open house, probably online, which has been going great. We get a lot of great feedback and participation online. So we'll send out those alternatives. We'll get feedback on those things, what we put out there, and then we'll take that again, come back to the consultant team, and then in February we hope to share the final vision, what it looks like based on what the community wants and will support.
That's amazing. And then I know that you already have some funding, right? And then do you see yourself needing to fundraise? I mean, how does that point then come about?
Right. So the scope of work right now is just for the master plan. So what we're doing is, you know, all has been funded through the city, the county, and the park district partnership. So we're developing the master plan. Part of our work will be to create phases for what could be implemented over time. And we're not talking, you know, tomorrow necessarily. We hope some things will happen in the first couple of years. And then we're looking at, you know, a decade down the road as bigger things happen. So when the Memorial Bridge is replaced, what will that look like? And how can we take advantage of some of those dollars that we will receive from IDOT as a part of that going away and Main Street becoming a new conduit to the riverfront? So we'll be looking at grants and in the future. So the dollars will have recommendations, but you know, we don't have all that lined out yet until we know what we want and we know what's available at that time.
What are some things we're talking with Maggie Strong of the Quincy Riverfront? What are some things that you're hoping come out of this from the public's perception of this area and the riverfront?
Well, what I hope is that people feel like they've been heard. You know, my job here is public engagement, so I hope that people feel like what they've, you know, participated during this whole process has really shown up in the final plan. Personally, I hope that there's a lot of places for just spending time with your family. I think that, you know, first, again, this is for the community first. Yes, we want to bring tourism in, and I think that will follow if we have a great community gathering place. So I have the dream of when this whole COVID thing has passed us that we'll all be able to gather in large crowds again and enjoy what makes this community so great. So I hope that's a part of it.
You can visit QuincyRiverfront.com and click on participate. If you have any questions or if you just maybe want your opinion heard, you can send them an email. Again, QuincyRiverfront.com/participate. We will soon take a break. We are going to come back and talk about not only the survey, but more questions that Maggie gets from time to time about the Quincy Riverfront program right here on The Mary Griffith Show on WTAD.
We call them food. To have to dance within the flame.
I don't want to talk, Steve.
I know. But we had to get a Garth song on before your week came to an end, okay?
I love it. Garth Brooks here on The Mary Griffith Show here on WTAD. We have enjoyed talking with Maggie Strong, part of the Quincy Riverfront Master Plan. You guys have been working really hard. We've talked about what the project is as a whole, some of the goals, the timeline. You can get some of that information at QuincyRiverfront.com, also the place where you can participate in a survey to get your voice heard. We are now on, you guys have put together, the survey looks fabulous. It asks you what you've used the riverfront for previously, and then it comes back and says, okay, when you did use it for this, how did you use it? And I'm looking at the, you know, the kayak picture. It's just, you know, a great job of putting together what could be. And like you said at the beginning of this, gets you excited for the riverfront.
It does. And that's what we want folks to dream big. We want them to think about what is possible. You know, obviously we're not going to be able to do everything in that survey, but we're going to get some great feedback from folks, and then we're going to use those filters and kind of bring us a little bit back to earth and end up with a beautiful project in the end.
Absolutely. Exciting stuff. Now, sometimes people are thinking, well, couldn't our money be used for something different? Not necessarily better, but something different. And one of those is, well, shouldn't we just fix the roads? You've gotten that question a couple times.
We have a few times. And the answer to that is we're fixing the roads. We are doing that. It's great. You know, communities can do more than one project at a time, and I would highly recommend it. We're almost like moms, you know. We can multitask.
Woo.
So we need to think about, yes, we need to worry about, and it's very important to have great roads, a great transportation system. We could do that. We are doing that. But we also need to look at the future. We need to think about what is this community going to look like in 10, 20, 30 years? Why are people going to want to live here? Why are people going to want to come here? If we just let status quo be status quo, I don't know if I'd be too excited about the future here, but I know that there's lots of people thinking beyond the next phase and how we can grow this place and make it even better.
Quincy Next, that's part of the Quincy Riverfront. You can visit Quincy Riverfront. I know we've been pushing that website, but it's such
Please.
A great place, right? That survey, now on to River Edge experiences, right? I mean, boardwalks. A pier, maybe even an urban beach. And some people are like, well, there's Hogback, right? No, it's different, right? I mean, you think of these beautiful beaches where you could bring your family and have a picnic or even be able to walk and get some ice cream and walk out onto the Mississippi. I mean, it's just an experience that, yeah, you might not think of because but it's not an option right now, right? It'd be different if it could be there.
It's right. And, you know, when we think about all these different programming ideas, we talk about sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
We want places that people can visit again and again because that's, you know, we're not a metropolis. We're not a massive community. Of course, we want massive tourism, but we also want places that people are going to be excited to go to week in and week out who live here.
And then somebody might say, well, why do all of that if it's going to flood, right?
Oh, that's the ever-present question of flooding. We do have a lot of really great engineers who are very well informed that the riverfront does flood, believe it or not. So we are taking that into account. We have a lot of, like I said, very smart people, much smarter than I am, who are really well-versed with what the river does and what it will continue to do. And there are ways that we can mitigate some of those flooding issues. And there are ways that we can work with it. So we will be definitely taking all of that into account so we're not wasting our community's dollars by any means. We're trying to work within what the world, the environment gives us and make it an asset.
There is a great map on your form here that says what exactly the Riverfront Master Planning Area is. Could you kind of describe to our listeners what that does entail?
Sure. So, you know, a lot of people have heard about the QBARA, the Quincy Bay Area Restoration and Enhancement Association. So this is not part of the Riverfront Master Plan, but we are doing this in conjunction with what's going on with QBARA. It is a wonderful thing. If you talk to Mike Klingner, he always likes to say that QBARA is for the critters and the Riverfront Master Plan is for the people. So we want that to continue to grow, to become a wonderful destination for folks and to protect our wildlife and ecosystem. So that is a wonderful project. However, that's not the Riverfront Master Plan. The Riverfront Master Plan area is really focused on what people would consider Clad Adams Park area, really between the bridges right now and between what we will anticipate is the new bridge, which will be on York Street. So this Riverfront Master Plan, again, came out of the Quincy Next Strategic Plan. It also is a result of the fact that we know that we're going to have a new bridge and what happens when that comes.
Do we have a timeline on that?
Oh, I think it changes every time they look at the bridge. I've heard around a decade. Every time they inspect the bridge, it may, you know, go up or down, and it also depends on, you know, the dollars that the state of Illinois and the state of Missouri have. So that's an ever-changing question to
answer.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, are there plans? I mean, we're thinking right now, right? We're thinking food, possibly entertainment. What about living?
Yes, definitely. You know, again, water is a place where people gravitate towards. So I've heard a lot of folks, and of course we had plans back in 2007 to have a beautiful condominium complex put in there, and of course 2007 was 2007, so we had some financial issues there that put that to a halt. But I think there's still a need for residential development down there. What that looks like might be different than what we envisioned back a decade ago, but I think people really want to see what does living on our riverfront look like? How is that combined with commercial and retail? Again, we want to create a center of gravity, and in order to do that, this needs to be a 24-hour area.
Absolutely. Now, gathering is a large part of that, too, and COVID has put changes on your plans, ever-changing. But I think that shows the great people that you have working with you on this is because if you can get thrown something like COVID and still be able to rework a plan to maneuver that right now, just think what changes still could come in 5 or 6 years. So we appreciate all of your time and effort on this. Again, how can people participate before midnight tonight?
Before midnight tonight, you can go to QuincyRiverfront.com and fill out that programming survey. We have that open for about 3 weeks, I think, now. So please, if you're the procrastinating person, get there this afternoon, fill that out, tell your friends. And of course, we want to know what you think even beyond. So there'll be more opportunities for that. You can always send us an email on that website. You can also get involved in the conversation on Facebook. There's a Riverfront Master Plan group, if you just look for that, and join that group and share ideas there. We're also monitoring that and having some great conversations and ideas.
That's Quincy Next and Quincy Riverfront. We are going to have something within years, and we appreciate you taking the thinking ahead, right? I mean, because sometimes it's hard to see now what could be, so thank you for having that vision. Steve, what a cool thing, right?
Yes, it is, very much, and thank you very much for coming in and continuing talking about this. This is always an interesting project that continues to go on.
And if you missed the beginning of it, you can visit WTAD.com for the podcast that you will have up later today.
Yeah, about 11 o'clock.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for sitting in the last couple of weeks for Mary.
Thanks for hanging out with
me. It's fun. It has been a fun time. We'll